Chapter 17. The Dome. Once Summer got an idea in her head, there was no talking her out of it. She didn't even bother trying to convince me. She simply acted like I'd already agreed. As the SUV pulled up in front of Fun Jungle, she told me, "Meet you at the World in 15 minutes." Then she banged on the glass partition by the front seat and said, "Hondo, I have to make a bathroom stop." Hondo groaned and slid the partition open.
"You can't wait to get back home?"
"No," Summer exclaimed. "I drank a ton of iced tea at Dairy Queen, and I'm gonna burst. I'm lucky I made it this far. I'll be right back." She hopped out of the car with me.
"Wait!"
Hondo yelled, then cursed under his breath when she didn't. He ordered Tran to park in a red zone and then ran after her. The park was closed for the night, so we all headed for the employee entrance. Summer didn't try to outrun Hondo. If she had, he would have alerted park security before she could get very far. Her plan was almost as simple, though. Once we were inside the park, she went into one of the public bathrooms and then climbed out the window while Hondo waited. Summer had pulled this stunt on her bodyguards before, but she saved it for occasions when she really needed to use it and hadn't sprung it on Hondo yet. Therefore, she caught Hondo with his pants down. Literally, it turned out. He'd also drunk plenty of iced tea and had a full bladder, so when Summer went into the women's room, Hondo ducked into the men's room and missed her escape. By the time Hondo realized Summer had given him the slip, she was well on her way to World of Reptiles. I took my time heading there, trying to appear inconspicuous while Summer ran flat out, trying to leave Hondo way behind. So by the time I arrived, she was already there, panting from exhaustion. She tried to hide it, though, straightening up and declaring, "You're late." "I'm actually early," I pointed out. "You said 15 minutes. It's only been 12. Summer waved this aside, as though it didn't make sense. "Whatever, let's go." She quickly typed her father's entry code into the security keypad, and the door to World of Reptiles clicked open. The building was constructed to look like a giant turtle, with a wide glass dome at the top of the shell. Beneath the dome was an enormous indoor rainforest, which housed a few hundred reptiles, as well as plenty of non-reptiles, because frankly, reptiles are rarely very exciting to watch. Since they're cold-blooded, they tend to stay very still for hours, if not days. So the other animals had been brought in to spice things up. There were lots of brightly colored birds, small clawed otters, capuchin monkeys, and some sloths. In truth, the sloths moved even less than a lot of the reptiles, but they were kind of cute, and the tourists loved searching for them. The rest of the exhibits at World of Reptiles weren't quite as impressive. Most were simply aquariums built into the walls, with lizards, snakes, and turtles in them. While many of these animals were fascinating, they were often small, lethargic, and well camouflaged, so tourists tended to ignore them. Summer and I did the exact same thing, blowing past terrapins and skinks and puff adders in our hurry to get to the rainforest. The lights were still on inside, and the fake waterfalls were still gushing, but there weren't any other people there. Without the crowds, it really did feel like we were off in the Amazon together. It was nice and warm. The heat was always set to the mid-80s to keep the reptiles healthy, far more comfortable than the raw, chilly weather outside. I would have loved to just hang out there with Summer, watching the animals where it was safe and cozy, but she didn't slow for a moment in her rush to get to the roof. A series of staircases, platforms, and rope bridges headed upward into the rainforest. The official reason for these was to let guests see some of the tree-dwelling creatures up close, but they were really there to make the exhibit more exciting to explore. Summer quickly led me up a staircase that spiraled around an enormous fake fig tree, then started across the longest bridge in the forest. The bridge was the most visited place in the atrium, as it extended past the saltwater crocodile exhibit. It didn't go directly over the salties, but it angled close enough to give the impression that you were over them, allowing you to see them in all their glory down below. Even though the crocs didn't move much, they were among the most popular animals in World of Reptiles, because they were big, and they were dangerous. Crocodiles are among the most deadly large animals in the world, if not the deadliest. It's estimated that they kill around 300 people a year in Africa alone, although that number might be higher, because they don't leave much evidence of the kill. They either wolf the entire victim down in a few gulps, or drag their remains down to the bottom of lakes and rivers to store in holes there, which was why the bridge didn't go directly over their exhibit. The last thing J.J. McCracken needed was some idiot climbing over the safety rail, falling into the crocodile pit, and getting munched in front of the other tourists. Saltwater crocodiles are from the rainforests of Australia, and while they don't kill quite as many people annually as their African relatives, they still take out a good number. Of course, as Mom would point out, the number of people killed every year by crocodiles is only a tiny fraction of the number of people killed every year by people. Saltwater crocs can be enormous, too. Fun Jungle had 7 on display, each at least 17 feet long and 1,000 pounds, although the biggest, Didgeridoo, was 23 feet long and weighed more than a ton. They were so impressive that, even though Summer was in a hurry, she paused on the bridge to check them out. "Is this the only way up to the roof?" I asked. "It's the only way I know," Summer replied. "A little farther up, there's an access to a secure staircase that goes up to the dome." "Sounds pretty complicated. There's no direct staircase?" "I don't think they wanted to make it easy to get onto the roof." "Why?" "If the hunter really did shoot from up here, it's far more difficult to get to than the roof of the monorail. Anyone who wanted to get onto the monorail station could easily climb up there. But to get to the roof here, you'd need to know the route and have an access code, which means the hunter would have to work for Fun Jungle." "Not necessarily," Summer said. "There could be a way up without going through the building." "You mean like climbing the outside?" "The walls aren't that steep. In fact, they kind of curve inward to make the building look all turtly. A good rock climber could probably do it. If people can climb El Capitan in Yosemite, they could climb this." "So, in addition to being a great shot, the hunter would also have to be a great rock climber?" "Maybe." Summer took one last look at Didgeridoo, then crossed the rest of the bridge and headed up another arboreal flight of stairs. "Or maybe it's someone who knows how to get around the security system. Maybe the Trasks built this building and installed some kind of loophole." "Just in case they someday went bankrupt and needed to poach a rhino horn and wanted to come to the roof of this building to do it." "I don't know," Summer said curtly, annoyed at me for poking holes in her theory. "If it's so hard to believe the hunter shot from up here, why don't you come up with another solution?" We reached the top of the stairs, arriving at the highest viewing platform in the rainforest. It was 4 stories up, so close to the dome that we could see the rivets in the steel girders that supported the glass. A rope bridge extended from our platform to a matching one on the far side of the room. A lot of birds were nesting in the treetops close by, where they'd be safe from most predators in the wild. To my surprise, one of the sloths was moving along a branch right above the bridge. I'd seen the sloths hundreds of times, but this was the first time I'd ever seen one moving. It was hanging from the branch by its claws, poking along at a speed that made turtles look fast. Sloths are the slowest of all mammals. Like koalas, they survive on leaves, which provide very little nutrition, and moving slowly conserves precious energy. So does not going to the bathroom. Most sloths only poop once a week. In fact, sloths are so lethargic, they are their own ecosystems. There are species of moth and algae that live only in sloth fur. The sloths can't even expend the energy to groom them away. This one seemed startled to see Summer and me, as if it knew humans normally didn't come here at this time. It actually tried to swat at us in self-defense, but even this was done in slow motion. I could have waited 5 minutes and still had time to get out of the way. Instead, I backed off, raising my hands to show the sloth that I meant no harm. "I'm not saying you're wrong that the hunter shot from up here," I told Summer. "In fact, you're probably right. I'm only trying to make sense of everything." Summer turned away, still seeming annoyed at me. "You want to make sense of everything? How's this? Honecker knows how to get around security, and I'll bet you he knows how to get up here. So he could easily be our hunter." I thought about pointing out that Honecker didn't seem to have a motive, but figured it would probably aggravate Summer even more. The wooden platform butted up against the wall not far below the dome. There was a door in the wall, though it was so well camouflaged, there was actually moss and other plants growing on it, that I never even noticed it before. A security keypad was hidden among the greenery. Summer tapped in her code and we slipped through the door. It led to a small cement room lit by bare bulbs. A steel ladder was bolted into the wall. The room was so cold and industrial compared to the rainforest that it felt as though we'd entered another dimension rather than merely passed through a door. There was no heat here. The rungs of the ladder felt like solid ice. Summer quickly scaled the ladder to a metal hatch in the ceiling. Then she flipped the hatch open and clambered outside. I followed her out onto the roof. The part we emerged onto was cement and surrounded the glass dome covering the rainforest, but it still tilted more than I'd expected, slanting downward at a dangerous angle. Thankfully, there was a low wall built around the edge of the roof, so that if one of us fell, we wouldn't tumble right off and splatter on the ground, but I watched my step anyhow. Two metal catwalks ringed the dome, one down by the wall below us and one higher up, circling the glass portion, so that maintenance workers could get around. We headed for the higher one, which was closer and better lit. The lights from inside the rainforest shone so brightly through the glass, the dome seemed to glow. I'd never realized it before, but except for the administration building, World of Reptiles was the highest structure in the park, so we had a great view of not just all the fun jungle, but of a great swath of the hill country as well. As big as the park was, it looked like a small bubble of light surrounded by a great dark sea of forest. In the distance, I could see the lights of town, and far to the south, San Antonio glimmered on the horizon. The building was also tall enough to catch a lot more wind than the rest of the park. It knifed through my clothes, chilling me quickly, and blew loud enough that it was hard for Summer and me to hear each other. The hatch we'd come through was located on the opposite side of the dome from Safari Land. "The hunter probably shot from the other side," Summer said, leaning in close so she wouldn't have to shout. I got a strong whiff of her shampoo, which smelled like flowers. "If there's any evidence, it'd be over there." "Probably by the wall," I added. "If she dropped a bullet casing, it'd roll down there, right?"
"Good thinking," Summer flashed a smile. Her face was only a few inches from mine, and for a few moments I no longer felt cold at all.
Then she turned away and started along the upper catwalk. The glass portion of the dome was only about 15 feet tall at the highest point, but it was as big around as a baseball diamond. We circled clockwise around it, keeping the glass to our right. Now, close up, I could see there was a grid of curved steel beams that provided a frame for the glass, as well as a narrow catwalk on the inside of the dome that looped around its base. Every few feet we passed a sliding panel in the glass to access the inner catwalk from outside.
"What do you think these panels are for?" I asked Summer.
"Maintenance, I guess," she replied. "They have to clean the windows every few days."
Safari Land came into view. Since it was unlit, it blended into the dark forest that bordered the park, but I knew Fun Jungle well enough to know exactly where it was. Summer was right. From where we stood, there was a direct shot straight down over the monorail station to the house where Rhonda lived. I could make out the light in her window. It was about a quarter mile away. A long shot, but probably not too difficult for a crack shot with a good rifle. After all, a rhino was a big target. In fact, any rhino out on the Asian plains would have been a relatively easy target as well. I shifted my attention to the edge of the dome below us. It wasn't nearly as well lit as where we stood, full of shadows.
"Not going to be easy to find anything down there," I said.
"Then we'd better start looking," Summer told me.
She stepped off the upper catwalk and started edging down the slanted roof toward the wall. I was about to follow when something made me stop. I wasn't sure what exactly. Maybe a sound so low that it was almost swallowed by the wind, or a vibration in the roof, or just a feeling. But whatever it was, I turned around and looked up toward the very top of the glass dome. Something was up there. For a moment, I thought it was actually inside the dome, like one of the bigger birds flapping up against the glass. But then I realized that it was outside, on top of the building, and that it was far too big to be a bird. It was the hunter. She was sheathed in dark clothing, so she melted into the night, but she was there, lying prone on the top of the dome. She hadn't noticed us yet, because she was focused on her rifle. She was peering through the scope, with her finger around the trigger, aiming toward Safari Land.